So this says part two, I pressed the wrong button, but I'm going to continue with the message. So this message now will appear in two parts. Pick up where we left off. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and the Father. If you're listening to this message, you are still in this present evil world, or the Greek would have it, evil age. It says that he might. It hasn't been completed yet. Yet we know we are completed in Christ, and we're in Christ by faith, and we live by faith, which is a main theme in this book of Galatians. It's a main theme in the book of Romans. It's a main theme in the book of Hebrews. Quoting the fourth verse of the second chapter of Habakkuk, all these, that the just or the righteous shall live by faith. And last week, I mean, that's the gospel, folks. That God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That's our hope. Now, last week, I did not start out with a title for last week's message. But in Paul's wonderful dissertation about the things that really abide, not in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm not going there today, but he says these three abide, faith, hope, and love, and they're all contained in those, in the fifth and sixth verses of Galatians 5. From the ground of faith through the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness. But faith energizes love. And it's speaking of the love of God. And, you know, we banty about that word love so often that the word in the Greek is agapao. And it is a wonderful thing. If a human can somehow touch that love, a wonderful definition that I have come across of this word agapao, and we're speaking of the love of God here, it means to take pleasure in a thing, to prize it above other things, to be unwilling to abandon it or do without. That's God's attitude. Towards His children, towards His chosen, towards sons and daughters of faith. I want to pick up at the seventh verse, Paul speaking to those possessions of God, the churches at Galatians, preserved for all of the children who are the Lord's. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who blocked your way in this journey of faith? Who blocked your way that you should not be persuaded of the truth? Is the literal. It's not obedience here. This is a poor translation by the King James translators. You heard the truth. Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins. All of them. Not just the past sins. Not just the sins before you heard the truth of the gospel, but the sins of today and, let me put it this way, let me correct it, of our, not just our sins today, but all our sins from now until we meet our Lord. When He has delivered us from this present evil world, when we meet Him face to face, now manifesting, or then manifesting, that righteousness of God which we today to hope for. Eighth verse says, this persuasion, not of Him that calleth you, that gives you the insight into the proper translation of the seventh verse, that you should not be persuaded. Come to that truth. This persuasion comes not the one who's hindering you, of him that calleth you. We spoke last week of a little leaveneth the whole lump. The hypocrisy. That word hypocrite comes from the old Greek theater, where one would come out with a mask over his face and start accusing the people. They wouldn't know who was really doing the accusing, because if they did, they'd know he didn't have the position to accuse them. But by a mask, oh, I hope you get the metaphor. The audience was accused. You know, this argument that Paul is making in this fifth chapter is the same argument that he has made throughout this whole book, going back to the second verse of this fifth chapter. He says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Where did the argument start? You go to the 15th chapter of Acts, the verse 1. Paul was teaching his churches, and Acts 15:1 says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." This is the evidence that in this New Testament church, not long after Pentecost, that there came an attitude that, yes, Jesus saves, but we could replace this word "except" with the word "but." And at the God School, the proclamation has always been, Jesus saves without buts. Jesus saves. Period. In Colossians, Paul says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world," and there he's talking about the law, "and not after Christ." This circumcision, he's not talking about just that which was done to the male members of the tribes of Israel. He's talking about any outward performance of the law that would suggest that that outward performance qualifies you as now having that righteousness which God has promised. We've said it before in this series. Paul says it in the second chapter, that it's evident no flesh shall be righteous in his sight. No flesh shall be justified by the law in his sight. If you get the whole of what Paul refers to here as circumcision, you are beginning to get a vision of what God in Christ has done for us. Now, I haven't been going verse by verse, excuse me, this time through Galatians. Because we're trying to unfold with a gestalt this message of the gospel, the power of God, the dynamite of God unto salvation. The 16th verse of this 5th chapter has always been very important to me, as the message of grace and peace is to me. King James translates it, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Lust, that's a bad word. The Greek word simply speaks of desire. And the best translation I have ever heard of this verse, and it brings into context not only this whole letter of Galatians, but the whole of the gospel, is this: I say then, walk in the Spirit, and the flesh will not have the last word. How do you get in the Spirit? You get in the Spirit when the Spirit's in you. How does the Spirit come in? Christ dwelleth in your heart by faith. Now Paul's going to start talking about the flesh and the Spirit. And he says, when the Spirit comes to dwell, it says, for the flesh lusteth. It talks, that's a word now. It talks about trench warfare. And there's a warfare going on, and it's talking about the attempt of the flesh to displace the Spirit. And it says, in this warfare, the Spirit is against the flesh. And he says, and these are contrary one to the other. And he has this statement. And go read the 7th chapter of Romans. Contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The things that you would? Perfect performance of the law. That's what some came preaching. But he offers consolation in the 18th verse, and he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Praise God. Under grace, not under the law. Now, I'm not going to spend any time as Paul describes what the works of the flesh are. Read it for yourselves if you want. That is a scary verse. Which is the second part of the 21st verse, wherein it says, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I was 26 years old before I ever owned a Bible. And as I began to read it, I really didn't like it. I have to tell you something. I hated it because I read verses like this, that they which do such things, all that which preceded here, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And I give all credit to God. This perhaps was the beginning of God opening my understanding. That verse took away all my hope, because I knew I was a doer of such things. And it scared me. And if I dwelt on it, honestly, it took away my hope. Well, the truth of the matter is, my hope at that time, having been born, raised, educated, and a practicing Roman Catholic, all my hopes were, you know, set on the traditions of men, which, thank God, he has come to enrich me with the understanding of what so many of the traditions of men are. But when I read this verse, I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know of his grace. I didn't know of his peace through Christ Jesus. I didn't know that in the operation of the gospel, as Paul will say later in this, in the sixth verse, that we are a new creature. That we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. As a result of the operation of the power of God. And that all these activities that Paul describes of the flesh, that are manifest to one extent or another in our lives, that to his church, to his chosen, to his called, through his beloved, that is Jesus, they will not have the last word. God will have the last word. Now, earlier, and we're talking about this liberty that we have in Christ, in the 13th verse it says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." He says there's warfare going on between the flesh and the spirit. Oh, I hope to God I am communicating this message effectively. Don't use this liberty as a foundation for the flesh. You know, whenever the gospel has been delivered, or most of the time when the gospel has been delivered, and it's been delivered as powerfully as Paul is delivering it here, a person's response is, "You mean we can go and do whatever we want? We can murder and fornicate and all these other things that are in the list?" Paul says, don't use this liberty as a foundation to serve the flesh. It's what the word occasion means. Walk in the Spirit. And at least some of the things that you used to want to do, you won't want to do as much anymore. Telling you, it's a battle. It's a battle. Paul describes all those things that come out of the flesh, but now in the 22nd verse, he describes the fruit of the Spirit. Now he's specific. This is not plural. This is singular. The fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy. I've already described love. Joy. That's a calm delight. Joy comes with understanding. It's peace. Cessation of againstness. It's long suffering. I have written in my Bible another word for it, a synonym, if you will, which is fortitude, and a definition for fortitude. That is, now we're talking about long suffering. Fortitude is a consistency of mind. Not discouraged in adversity. Whether the adversity comes from without or from within. Long suffering, it's not discouraged by adversity. And gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness or humility, and temperance. It talks about self-control. Does it talk about total self-control? That none of these things of the flesh are manifested in you? Paul just said in the 17th verse, you cannot do the things that you would. Not yet. We're still in this present evil age. Meekness and temperance or self-control, against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have, I gotta stop here. They that are Christ's, they that are the possession of the Lord, they that are the church, have crucified the flesh with the affections or passions and desires. They that are Christ's have the understanding that the manifestations of the passions and desires of the flesh have been crucified with Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Paul says, let us not be desirous. And the word in the Greek speaks of a challenge like combat of vainglory. In Colossians, he speaks of will worship, vainglory, smoke, vapor. Show me your, or I'll show you my works. Vainglory. Provoking one another, envying one another. That means this phrase, envying one another, it means desiring to deprive what? Desiring to deprive the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, I've been watching you. Unless you perform properly, you can't be a member of that which Christ paid with His own life. Who are you to say that? We have liberty in Christ. I moved to stop here now. Because next time we gather, Lord willing, I want to give full attention to this sixth chapter of this book of Galatians, the first letter to the churches of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, as Paul said, so say I, the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.